Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today I have very good news. God gives life. I have some very bad news in that sin earns death, but then I have some very good news in that Jesus won forgiveness. First of all, God gives life. What we do now is we go to Psalm 139, looking at some selected Bible verses. You have them there in front of you in your service folder. These are verses that the Holy Spirit inspired David to write, and this is a prayer that David is praying to God in heaven. In this first section, in verses 2 through 4, we see that the Lord knows simply everything about us. Notice what David prayed. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. As David acknowledged the Lord knowing everything about him, let us know that the Lord knows everything about us. Sometimes we don't even know what the next thing is we're going to say, but yet the Lord knows. He is an awesome God. In this next section, in verses 7 through 12, we see this reality that the Lord is present everywhere. Now, sometimes we want to say, Lord, you stay there. I want to go indulge in sin. But we can't do that because he goes with us whether we want him to or not. Let us rather look at it another way and say, it is good news that he is with us always. Notice what David prayed. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea. In other words, if we look all the way to where the sun is rising, to all the way to where the sun is setting, during that entire expanse, the Lord is there. There's no place we can go to be away from him. Verse 10, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Let us understand that the Lord God, he is our source of life. He is our source of blessing. So let us rejoice that he is always present with us. He's always there to give us life. He's always there to bless us according to our needs. And then, in verses 13 through 16, we see this reality that the Lord has made us, not simply in a general sense, but very individually, very, detail by detail, he has made us. David prayed, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." When I read that this morning as I was going over the sermon for today, it made me think about yesterday's newspaper. Maybe you read The Plain Dealer. But right on the front page there, the headlines are, Fitzgerald chooses new running mate. So I started to read the article, one very short paragraph about where the woman is from, and then in the very next paragraph it says about her, a twice-failed candidate for Congress known as a staunch defender of abortion rights, Newhart replaces State Senator Eric Kearney. So it's like with Sharon Newhart, we could say all kinds of things about her, but the article mentions that the very most important thing about her that you should know is that she is a staunch defender of abortion rights. Well, keep that in mind. Let's go on here. David prayed, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Notice this next part. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So imagine how carefully God puts each human being together. And then not only that, but before that person lives a single day, God has his entire life laid out before him or her. We are super special to God. Every human life is super special to the Almighty God. Not only did he put us together, but think about it. Every day for us was planned out in advance. So what should our days be? Our days should be every day waking up and saying, Dear Lord, another day. What is your plan? What is your plan for me today? Help me to know it and help me to do it unto your glory and also as a blessing to other people in need. Let's go on to part two. We come to the bad news that sin earns death. All who live will eventually die. Why is that so? The Bible tells us some important realities. The Bible says that sin, it began with Adam and Eve. Sin has passed from one person to another, generation after generation. Sin is present from conception. So at conception is when life begins, and from conception we have sin already. And then the Bible tells us that sin results in death. Imagine that today is January 22nd, 1973. So try to imagine that. It's January 22nd, 1973. Lyndon Johnson, the 36th president of the United States, today he will die. A Boeing 707 will explode upon landing in Nigeria, killing 176 people. The Supreme Court in the United States will legalize abortion in all 50 states. Each of those events deals with sin and death. In other words, with Lyndon Johnson, we have a man dying of a massive heart attack at the age of 64 years old, in part because he did not eat healthy, in part because he was under great stress in his life, and also in part because of sin. In Nigeria, many people die due to a landing accident. Everything was fine with the plane. It's coming in for the landing. Things didn't go well. And not everyone died on the plane. Almost everyone died. But 176 people did lose their lives that day. Also, too, a decision was made by our Supreme Court which gave mothers the legal right to murder their preborn children. And that decision on that day has led to the death of approximately 56 million children in the United States. So I want to ask the question now, how many is 56 million? We need to put that in perspective a little bit. How many is 56 million? Well, look at the numbers in your worship folder and let me explain them. The first number would be 18,625. That is the number of days from January 22nd, 1973, up until now. And then the next number is 3,000. So you have to take the 56 million and you divide it by the 18,625 and you come to the number 3,000. So what does that mean? 3,000 then is the number of children per day since January 22nd, 1973, which have been legally put to death inside their mother's wombs right here in America. 3,000 every day. And that's 7 days a week without missing a single day each year on average. And then we have a much bigger number, 45 million. 45 million, that is the number of children who are put to death in their mother's wombs worldwide every single year, 45 million every year. And then we have a really huge number, 2,295,000,000. That is the number of children that have been aborted worldwide since 1973. Do you know what that number is? That number is about one-third of the entire population of the world. I mean, isn't it just, how could God have not said, I was planning to come back on such and such a day, but the entire world has become so thoroughly evil that I've got to change my plans. I've got to come back sooner. I cannot let this killing continue. It's just amazing that he lets time go on. You know, when thoroughly the entire world, except for those who know him as Savior, we have become so thoroughly evil. Well, that is the bad news. But the good news is that we're still here, and God is still merciful, and God still loves us. Even though he shouldn't, he still does, because God is God, and God is a God of great, great love and mercy. So let's go on to the third part now. Let's go on to some good news. The good news is that Jesus won forgiveness. He did. That's good news. But we might say, though, he won forgiveness for which sins? Don't we tend to put sins into categories? Well, I'm pretty sure he won forgiveness for these sins, but I don't know about these sins over here. It's like, wow, I don't think he can take care of those. Those are like too great. So what is the situation? What is the Bible teaching? Well, let's go down through the list here, and let's see which ones the Bible is teaching that God has actually won forgiveness for in Jesus Christ. For cheating on a test? There's good news. Yes, Jesus won forgiveness. He took that sin. He paid that penalty. What about for being lazy Christians? Good news. Yes, he took all those sins. He paid all those penalties. What about for driving over the speed limit? Well, that is sin. God wants us to know that God is up here. God has established all the governments. We're down here. So the government is representing the Almighty God. If the government says, go this speed, and we choose to do otherwise, we are going against the government. We are going ultimately against the Almighty God. So when we drive over the speed limit, did Christ take those sins, and did he take that punishment? Good news, he did. What about for being self-centered? For thinking a whole lot more about ourselves and really not much about others. Is that good? It's not. Did Jesus take those sins and pay that penalty? He did. Praise God. What about for not rightly loving our spouses or our children as we should? You know, God tells us in his word how to proceed, and yet these are wonderful things, but we cannot do them perfectly. So does God provide forgiveness when we fall short of loving our spouse and our children? Good news, he does. All those sins Jesus took upon himself, all those penalties, Jesus took them for us. What about hating our neighbor? Happened to turn on the TV last night. It was about 10:30 or something, and they had this thing about different people who have bad neighbors. Did anybody see that? It was on, I think they call it 2020, but it was just unbelievable. Like the neighbor here giving these people like such a hard time. It's like unbelievable. It would be like a nightmare your entire life because you have such like rotten neighbors. So if that's true, or even if that's not true, if we are hating our neighbor, whether the person lives next door, or who did Jesus say our neighbor is everyone. So for hating our neighbor, is there forgiveness? The good news is yes. Jesus took those sins. He paid that penalty. What about having lustful thoughts? Jesus said in Matthew 5 that to have a lustful thought, that's the same as committing adultery itself. Is there forgiveness for that? Well, good news, in fact, there is. Jesus took those sins, he paid that penalty. How about from stealing from our employer? Some people justify that and think it's okay, but is it really right? It's not. God wants us to know that is sin. However we go about it, that is sin. Is there forgiveness? Good news again? Yes, because every time that's happened, Jesus took all those sins, he took all those penalties. How about for actually committing adultery? That's maybe a lot bigger one. Well, again, there is good news. Jesus took all those commissions of adultery. He took all the penalties for that sin. But what about this last one, though? This is like over the top. What about women and even the fathers of those children who were in the wombs of those women who conspired together to murder their own children? Could there be forgiveness for that? Well, again, there is, unbelievably, there is good news, because even with that, Jesus took that sin, he took the punishment for that, so that in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. Jesus, who is God, he took every sin, he took every ounce of God's wrath for all of those sins. He did so for us. He did so for every human being, from all the way from Adam and Eve all the way to the end of the world. Since Jesus has done that for everyone, what is God calling to everyone about in love? God is calling everyone to repent. He is calling everyone to be sorry for their sins. He is calling everyone to believe in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior. Jesus has already done it. His work is finished. He has already, with his living, suffering, and dying, he has won forgiveness for all people. The problem is, some have received it, most have not received it, so he's calling for everyone to receive what he has already completed. The way we receive is only by an act of God. We can't do it, but God comes to us by his Spirit through his Word. God comes to us through the waters of baptism, and God shows us our sin, he makes us sorry, and he unites us to Jesus Christ, our Savior. God wants us to know that when we have Christ, we have every benefit of what he has done. We have the forgiveness of every single one of our sins. Even though our sins have earned us death, let us marvel at the wonderful life, gift of life that God has given to each of us. Let us marvel that though a life can be so small, it is microscopic. That is a life that God has given. God is in the knitting room. God is putting that child together in a wonderful way, and God has a plan for that child's life. Let us also rejoice that though we have all fallen into sin in more ways than we can count and in more ways that we even want to remember, let us rejoice that with every single one of them, Jesus took those sins, Jesus took our penalty, and through him, we have forgiveness. That means we have eternal life. That means that we can be confident that when we breathe our last, God will bring us home to paradise. And when Jesus returns, he will raise our bodies back to life again. He will put us back together, body and soul, and we will be with him in the most wonderful existence forever and ever, not because of any good thing we have done, but all because of our good and great God in heaven. Let us thank him for such great blessings to us. And then maybe this week, maybe we can think of someone that we know who is thinking, I fell into this sin, and I think that I can't be forgiven, and now I just don't know what to do. Boy, we have good news for that person, don't we? Shouldn't we go and contact them and let them know what that good news is? Even with the sermon, once I put it on the website, if they have internet access, You could link them up with the sermon right on the website, and you could let the sermon tell them that story. But God wants us to get that message out there so people might know the bad news of sin, but let us always know that the good news of God's forgiveness in Christ is far greater. Let us rejoice in that peace that we have in Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.